Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Ed Helms. Tonight's review, Tactical Jacket. I was living a simple life. Didn't get out much. Then, I bought this jacket, and everything changed. Women came flocking to me from lands domestic and foreign. On the 245-day sailboat voyage home, I was attacked by a shark. I knew it was the jacket he was after. Giving up the jacket in exchange for my life. 5 stars. Amazon customer 69. Shop the perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you. Please be seated. Let's have our jurors brought in, please. Thank you.
I'm not falling for that again.
All right, please. Here's our president counterpoint, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right. Good morning, everyone. We're back on the record on KCR 2221-1623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. We are back on with continuation of the state's case in chief. After the weekend, the courts confirmed that our jurors have all returned and also have signed their affirmation that they followed the court's instruction when we closed on Friday. So we're continuing with Agent Daniels on direct examination with our gallery here in court today. There's a lot of people. Apologies for the inconvenience of moving you around. I think at some point later today, or if not later this morning, we'll be able to use the other side of the courtroom again. So thanks for accommodating that. If the state would like to call your witness and have him return to the stand, then we'll continue with direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. We'll be continuing with Mr. Daniels.
All right, I'll remind Agent Daniels he's still under oath for purposes of his testimony, having been sworn last week. Also, over the weekend, Agent Daniels, did you view any of the trial that's contained online or otherwise see any trial testimony that you weren't aware of before you testified?
No, I have not.
Okay, thank you for following that instruction then, Mr. Wood. If you'd like to continue with your direct, you may.
Thank you, and if I may publish through the HDMI.
Yes.
Morning, Agent Daniels.
Good morning.
Just to quickly recap and reorient the court and jury. On Friday, we had spoken about the June 9th and 10th search of Chad Daigle's property, correct?
Correct.
I believe the last place we talked about was searching the barn and tools. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's accurate.
We can go ahead and publish that.
Oh, that's right, because it's not being published up on the screen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just confirm that the jurors can see the picture of Daigle property? Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, Mr. Wood. When we get to the point where you think we ought to not publish on the overhead, let us know.
Okay. Agent Daniels, can you... Well, I'm going to orient the jury as to what they're looking at right now. So, Your Honor, I am showing Agent Daniels what's been marked as Exhibit 170B. And where was that on the property?
So right now we're in the kind of the northeast portion of the property. And from this photograph, we're looking back towards the residence. And in the photograph, you can see the second story bedroom window. And I'm pointing at it with the laser up there. And in the very beginning, last Friday, we showed you a vantage point photograph, and one of those vantage point photographs was from that second story window that's in that picture. So right above that back door. And so there's a rear man door that comes out of the residence also. So that's the Chad Daigle residence. That's the upper story second bedroom window. And then we're going to be walking towards this large tree. And near the base of that tree is going to be J.J. Vallow's burial site. And so this is an overall photo as is. So as it looked when we were there, and we're just walking towards the burial. So what becomes the burial site. And this just gives you a good idea of how the taller vegetation or the taller grass as we're going that way. And that'll become important as we get closer.
And Your Honor, this has been marked State's Exhibit 170C.
Okay.
And Agent, what are you looking at in 170C?
So now we're getting closer to that large tree, and our burial site's going to be in this area. And you can just start to see how we have higher vegetation or grasses around the burial site. And then there's a thinning of that vegetation in this area. And the picture doesn't really describe it, but when you're there, there ends up being a raised berm in this area. But we just want to show you kind of again, this is an as-is. This is what it actually looked like. And so that's the little discrepancy we started to see in this area or this field.
And Your Honor, this is what's been marked as State's Exhibit 170D.
All right.
And Agent, what did you notice in 170D?
So now we're just getting closer up photographs, and these are still as is, so hasn't been touched. But this is just showing that raised berm, and you can still see the higher vegetation around the raised berm. And then now that we're getting closer up photograph, or it's a closer up photo, you can now see that just how that vegetation looks on the raised berm. It's not as thick as the vegetation around it.
State's Exhibit 170E. What was of note to you in this picture?
We just wanted this is just a closer up photo of the actual burial site where JJ is going to be located. And it's just a closer just to see that vegetation as it is on the raised berm. And you can just see how there's empty spots versus what it looked like around the area. So there's something of interest here to us.
Your Honor, this is 170A. Agent, what was the significance of this photograph?
This is another overall photograph, as is. Now we're just on the opposite side of the pond. So we're over here now. The photographer's over here looking back this way. And so you can still see that large tree. So JJ's burial is going to be in this area. And in this photograph, you can kind of see one of our FARO scanner operators here taking some of the initial FARO scans of the area. We have a total station operator over here doing some total station measurements. And then just to give a relation, there's the fire pit areas over here. And then Tylee Ryan's burial is going to be in this general area. And so JJ's burial is going to be in this vicinity. And that's all that picture is showing.
Your Honor, States Exhibit 170F.
All right.
And Agent, what is the jury seeing here?
And we talked about it last Friday with Tylee's burial site. But once we've kind of found an area, we think there could be a burial. Now our process is we're just going to go layer by layer down. And so now that we've located an area of interest because of that raised berm, we've designated a little perimeter here. And now our job is just to go layer by layer and excavate this site. And if there's anything of interest, anything of value, we'll stop and take photographs, scans, and then kind of continue down to see what there is, if anything, at this location. And this picture is just showing how we've now taken off some of that first layer of vegetation, and we've started the process.
This is 170G, Agent. What was going on in 170G?
So we've removed the vegetation off the top, and what we start to notice are these different stones or cement blocks that start to protrude through the soil. So that starts to draw our attention. And so we stopped and took some photographs of what that's starting to look like.
170H.
And so now we've gone another layer down. And so these are what the stones and cement block are looking like. And then I like this photograph because it shows whoever's done this in the ground.
Yes, you can continue, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Agent, what did you observe about these stones?
So in this photograph, we see the stones now that are laid. And I like this photo just because it's showing how precise these stones are laid across this burial. And then on the left side of your photo, you start to see a wooden plank that's underneath the stones. And we'll get to the wooden planks in another photograph. But on this photograph, you can at least see how they're laid on top of these wooden planks. And then around these rocks, you can start to see the tree roots. This burial was next to this large tree, and you can see how somebody's taken the time to cut through these tree roots to place this burial here in this location.
And so, Agent, for clarity, did anyone on the ERT team cut those roots?
No, we did not. This is how when they were excavating the site, this is how this was found.
And Your Honor, States Exhibit 170I. Detective, what did you observe here?
So after the stones were removed, these are two wooden planks that were underneath those stones.
And Your Honor, I think at this point, it'd probably be an appropriate time to stop publishing to the public.
Okay. We are going to continue with the photos published to the jurors and the parties, but for purposes of the live stream or the public in the courtroom, these remaining photos, because of their nature, will not be published.
And this is 170K. And Agent, what did you observe in 170K?
On the right side of the photo you're looking at, you can start to see a black plastic that's showing up. And so that was an indication that, okay, we're starting to find something in this burial site.
And did you notice that? Was there a change in the soil?
The soil is just getting darker as we get closer, but that's really all I can see in this photo.
Okay. And this is 170L.
And so once we started to see that black plastic that you saw in the last photo, at this point is when I got into the burial and I just took my hands and I just scraped around the plastic that we were seeing. And this is what this photo just shows after I removed the dirt from around that plastic that was showing. And this is where it just felt like this was a human head or skull that was inside that black plastic. And you could tell that black plastic was just tied up against whatever was inside. And at this point, we figured we had human remains, but we needed to determine that. So I got a razor blade and ended up making a cut in this black plastic. And I think in our next photo, we'll see once that's opened.
Your Honor, this is 170M, as in Mike. And Agent, what did you observe here, or what were you doing here?
So once we made the cut with the razor blade to that black outer plastic, we found that there was a white plastic wrapped around whatever was inside, the shape that we thought was the skull. And that's what we saw right there. So that white plastic was wrapped around whatever we had. And we had to do the same thing. We had to take the razor blade and then cut the white plastic. And I think we'll see a better picture next of what we found inside this white plastic.
Your Honor, this is State's Exhibit 170N, as in November.
Okay.
And Agent, what did you observe here?
So once I made the cut on the white plastic, and again, it was tight against the head that was inside. So we pulled it up. I pulled it up, made the cut, trying to not disturb as much forensic evidence as possible. But as I made that cut, the human hair that you can see on the top of that photo started coming out as I made that cut. And that's the point where we knew these are the human remains, and these remains become J.J. Vallow's remains. And that's the point where this ends up becoming J.J. Vallow's burial site. And so that was the point where that becomes J.J.'s burial site. And we continue excavating after this.
Your Honor, this is 170O. And what do you observe here?
So now we've just continued. Now that we know these are human remains, the team's just continued to excavate. So now you're starting to see that black plastic throughout the burial site. And if you look left on that photo, you can see that we've now uncovered the feet area of the human remains. So we have a pretty good idea that that black plastic is wrapping the entire human remains. And then kind of sporadically throughout that burial, you can see the little glimpses of black plastic. So it's looking like the entire remains are wrapped in that. So that's what this picture's showing a good idea of.
An agent where you don't have the benefit of the laser pointer, is the mouse or the pointer moving over where you're talking about the feet?
Correct.
Your Honor, this is 170P. And what did you observe here, Agent?
This is just continuing that excavation. And now, kind of in the middle of the photo, up towards the head, you can start to see there's a bigger piece of duct tape that starts to appear. And if I had the laser pointer, I could point to it a little bit. But that was just a significant thing that we noticed on that wrapping, is that there's duct tape involved. And then earlier on that, when we showed you a closer up of the head, there was a big piece of duct tape involved. So those were just some significant things that when we see that type of stuff, we like to take photos of that, where they're located. So that's just one of the reasons we would have stopped and taken a photo of those locations when we saw that duct tape appear.
Your Honor, this is 170Q. What did you observe here?
This is just a closer up picture. So now you can better see that piece of duct tape. And then just kind of see how that excavation's continuing.
170R.
And this is closer to a full excavation of the remains. So now, and you can see more pieces of duct tape have appeared. So now you get a better sense of how JJ's remains were placed in this burial, how they were wrapped. And now it's ready to be removed by the team and provided to the coroner.
And just for clarity's sake, this was on June 9th, correct?
Correct.
2019?
JJ's remains were the first remains we found, and they were the first remains that were fully excavated and provided to the coroner on June 9th.
This is 170S.
So,
and what do you observe here?
So once JJ's remains were fully excavated, removed, in the bottom of the burial, in the center of this photo, you can see that there's some decomposition that was in that burial. And one of the things we did is we took some soil samples of that area.
170T.
This is just a closer up photograph of that decomposition that was left in the burial.
Your Honor, this is 170J. What did you observe here?
This is just showing the burial excavated. So the human remains are removed. And then on that tarp are the stones that were placed over JJ. And then the wooden planks that were over JJ.
And 170U, what does the jury see in this picture?
So this picture just shows that the backhoe, what we did was after we had excavated the burial site, we brought in the backhoe to, at this time we didn't know where Tylee's remains were located. And since JJ's remains were in this location, we just thought we should check, go deeper in this excavation and go a little bit wider in this area, just in case whoever did this buried Tylee in the same area. It was just logical to us that they might have put her in the same place. So we used the excavator to dig a little deeper and go a little bit wider just to see if we could find something else that might indicate Tylee, her remains were around this area. And we didn't find anything else in this area. And then the backhoe backfilled this excavation site.
And Agent, we spoke the other day about FARO scans. What does the jury see here?
So in the bottom of the screen, you're just going to see a diagram or graphs of what the FARO scanner scanned in of JJ's burial site. And then on the right side, you're going to see ERT photographs. And once we click on those photographs, the top one will be start with layer A, and then in the bottom scanner, scan of the burial, that layer A will show, the line will show up in the bottom of your diagram that just gives you an approximate depth of where we were at layer A. So, and one thing to note about between layer A and B, there's not much difference because those rocks were right on top of the wooden planks.
What do you see in layer C?
And layer C was kind of at that point where we determined this was actually J.J. Vallow's human remains, where we cut open the head portion of the bag, and that's right at about 1 foot.
And layer D?
Layer D is where we've excavated a lot of the top of the human remains. And you can see that black plastic bag over the majority of the top of the human remains, and that's just under a foot.
Layer E.
Layer E was that final excavation point where we were ready to remove those human remains from the burial, and we're just over 2 feet.
Your Honor, at this time, I have no more questions for the witness.
All right, thank you. All right, once you're ready, Mr. Pryor, you can conduct cross-examination.
And Judge, before I start, by stipulation of the parties, asking the court to admit Exhibits 35 and 36, Defense Exhibits 35 and 36, those would represent photographs taken from the garage.
All right. Has the state been able to review proposed exhibits 35 and 36?
Yes, we have no objection.
Defense exhibits 35 and 36 are admitted.
Good morning, officer.
Good morning.
I did that without having to turn the mic on. That's a first, I think, today. I'd like to go over procedurally your involvement in this case, if we could take the time to go over all of the aspects of this case that you've been involved in. Would that be fair?
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to go back to the search involving Alex Cox's apartment. Were you involved in any aspect of that?
I was involved in the search of two apartments. I just have to remember which is which.
That's okay. You were involved in they were two different parts of the building complex. Would that be fair?
Correct.
And one of them may have been apartment 107, which would have been Alex Cox's.
I can't remember who owned which apartment, but there were two apartments that were fairly close together.
And could you explain to me what your involvement was in the search of Alex Cox's apartment?
I was an ERT senior team leader in the search of both the apartments, and I just don't remember who owned which apartment.
Okay. And part of the aspect of being involved in that is that you were involved in a cadaver dog search of that complex. Do you recall that?
I do.
Okay. And was that your cadaver dog, or was it another agency's cadaver dog?
It was an outside agency's.
Okay. Were you the supervisor in charge of that search?
I'd have to review my logs for those searches.
Okay.
I remember speaking to those the cadaver dogs, people that ran that operation.
Okay.
So I may have been.
Okay. And there was some reference in some of the police reports of the use of luminol. Can you tell me what that is?
Luminol is a tool that we'll use to attempt to find blood on a scene.
Okay. And as part of the cadaver dog and the use of the luminol, You applied that to an upstairs closet in one of the apartments. Is that right?
I can't remember. I'd have to review my logs, my notes for that from that day for that apartment.
Do you have those logs and notes with you?
I don't.
Okay. Okay. And then do you have a recollection of whether or not the cadaver dog indicated any positive on any of the locations of either of the apartments?
I don't. Again, I'd have to review my notes.
Okay. And were you involved in the search of any of those garages of either of the units?
Yes. If the garages were right attached to the apartments, I was.
Okay. But again, you don't have any recollection. Would that be fair of what was discovered in either of those garages? Is that right?
I'd have to review my logs and records, my notes.
Okay. And it's interesting that throughout your testimony in the last day or two, you didn't make reference of having to review your notes or logs about this case. Do you find it unusual that you have to review your notes and logs as part of a cadaver dog search of two apartments that were relevant to this case?
No, I knew I was going to be speaking about this search, so I reviewed my notes and logs and records for this Daybell property we were speaking of. I didn't know I'd be talking about the search warrants of the apartments, so I didn't review those prior to coming. And I've conducted many searches in the last 4 or so years.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you talked a little bit about the second floor and the view from the second floor of the Daybell residence. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Have you been in that house?
Yes.
Okay. Are you aware that the so-called second floor is an attachment to the garage?
Yes.
Are you aware that when you leave the main residence, you have to go in the garage and then further go through another entranceway to go up a set of stairs to get into that attached structure to the garage?
Objection. Counsel is testifying. Moot. Strike from record.
Sustained.
Are you aware that the structure is an attachment to the garage? You've already testified that's correct, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you're aware that to gain entry to that attached structure to the garage, you have to leave the main residence. Are you aware of that?
Same objection.
Overruled.
Yes.
Okay. And you don't have any knowledge personally of what that attached structure to the garage is used for, do you?
In that second story bedroom, there was a mattress on the floor. And on June 9th, there was a comforter, okay, and it was opened, and there were pillows there as if somebody had been okay, sleeping in it. That's why I call it a bedroom.
Are you aware of who was residing in the residence at the time of September of 2019?
I am not.
Okay. Are you aware who was residing in that residence as of June of 2020?
I am not.
And as far as the pictures are concerned of the garage, do you know who took those pictures?
I do.
Who took them?
ERT member Rachel Wright.
And that's a member of your staff, is that right?
She's an ERT member, correct.
Okay. Now, in the beginning, you had mentioned that you were staging up at the Salem Church with your ERT team prior to going to the Daybell residence. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. And how many of you were there at the Salem Church staging and that morning? Do you recall?
I would guess that the 8 of us were, okay, plus other law enforcement members.
Well, that's what I want to get at. How many other law enforcement members were also there?
I wouldn't know a specific amount.
Okay. And then you had testified that you were waiting as your ERT team was up at the Salem Church for local law enforcement to secure the facility of the Daybell property. Is that right?
Correct.
How many people was it going to take to secure the property? Do you recall?
I don't.
Okay. Well, you had a meeting prior to going out to the Daybell property with all of the folks, law enforcement agencies involved in this case. Did you not?
We did.
Okay. So how many law enforcement agencies were you dealing with when you had that pre-meeting before going to the property?
I don't remember how many were there.
Okay. You don't remember how many agencies, or you don't remember how many people?
Both.
So you don't know whether the Rexburg police was there, correct?
I'm sure the Rexburg Police Department was there.
At the meeting?
At the meeting, yes.
Fremont County?
Fremont County would have been there, yes.
Anybody with the Attorney General's office?
That I wouldn't know.
anybody from the prosecutor's office at that meeting?
I believe the prosecutor's office would have had a representative there. Yeah.
Do you know which one of these folks was at that meeting when the staging meeting?
Probably Rob Wood would have been there.
Okay. Madison County Police Department there at the staging meeting.
And I'm talking about the briefing meeting, probably the night before the staging meeting. Not at this church, not at the church parking lot area. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's what I'm talking about too, officer. I'm talking about the meeting prior to, and I've said staging and I apologize for that. I see where you're trying to correct me. Thank you. I'm talking about the pre-planning meeting before you approached the Daybell property.
Okay.
Was Madison County there as well?
I can't remember that, but they probably were.
Okay. So in essence, your team of 8 plus at the pre-planning meeting, representatives from Fremont County, Madison County, Rexburg Police, anybody else?
Other FBI employees.
Okay. So in essence, do you have a recollection? And I don't want to hold you to this specifically, but do you have a recollection of exactly how many law enforcement personnel were at this pre-planning meeting before approaching the Daybell property?
I don't.
Okay. Was it more than 10?
Yes.
Okay. More than 20?
I can't speculate on that.
You were present there, right?
Yes.
Were you running the meeting?
No.
Who was running the meeting?
I don't remember.
Okay. Who's the one who initiated setting up the meeting with all of these folks before you went out to the Daybell property?
I don't know.
So you just folks all decided to get together the day before? Was there someone sending out a memo or some sort of note saying, hey, let's get together before we arrive at the Daybell property? Or was it just a spontaneous planning of a meeting?
I would guess that one of the case agents put it together, but I can't recall ahead who put it all together.
Okay. But you're the person in charge of the search and the process of the search on the Daybell property in June 9th of 2020. Were you not?
I oversaw the evidence response team and I oversaw the processing of evidence on the scene at the Daybell residence on June 9th and 10th.
So would it be fair to say when you arrived on June 9th on the morning, and my recollection is you arrived there about 7:30, is that right?
Yeah, just after, I think, but yes.
Okay. When you arrived there, do you have a recollection of how many law enforcement personnel were on site at the Daybell property from all of the agencies?
I think our logs show that just over 50 people were there on both days. And that would have been the totality of the entire day. So I don't know how many would have been there at 7:30 in the morning.
And I've taken the liberty of reviewing your logs and saying that there were 50 people there. That's what you recollect. Is that right?
Just over 50 would be my guess.
And you're aware that Mr. Wood was one of those 50 who were there on site at the search of the burial of JJ and Tylee. Is that right?
I know I saw him on scene. At the time, I didn't necessarily know who Mr. Wood was.
Okay. So when you met him the day before at the meeting, you didn't introduce yourself. Is that right?
I don't think so.
Okay. So prior to going out on any kind of an investigation of this case, you're telling me that the prosecutor was at the meeting before, the prosecutor was on the site, and you're in charge of the search. You never took the time to introduce yourself to the lead prosecutor in this case. Is that correct?
I don't remember doing so, and okay. I was busy.
Okay. So would it be fair to say that there were a number of law enforcement personnel on that property in this rural piece of acreage? Would that be fair?
Yes.
And would it be fair to say that that would have caused at least some sort of an opportunity for people to look and see what's going on the property? Draw attention to the property, didn't it? Having all those people out there?
Like what kind of people?
Well, you had to have security who prevented people from driving by. You blocked down the roads a little bit, did you not?
Oh, I believe the locals did block down the roads, yes.
And you had to stop people from driving by and gawking at what was going on, right?
I didn't do that, but...
But you would agree in a situation where there's 50 law enforcement people ascending down onto a piece of property that would have a tendency to draw some attention to what was going on, right?
Maybe.
Okay. Do you think it's just another day out in the rural property that there's 50 people out on your property?
Objection, argumentative.
Sustained.
Okay. Did you happen to notice anybody looking around to see what was going on the property that morning?
No, sir. I was busy.
Okay. But as part of your pre-planning meeting, you set up the time to make sure that the property was secured to avoid that very thing. Did you not?
I did not.
Okay. Was that a part of the discussion of the meeting before you went on the property, that you need to secure the property and avoid people from gawking and looking at what was going on?
I did not discuss that.
Okay. How long of a meeting was this?
I don't recall.
Now, when you arrived on the scene, you talked about the garage where these tools were located. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Okay. Did you happen to look at that garage?
Yes.
Okay. The door of the garage was open when you folks arrived. Do you recall that?
I don't recall if it was opened or closed.
Okay. Were you present when the pictures were taken of the tools in the garage?
I don't recall being present.
Okay. Now, it showed some pictures of the property where the remains of JJ were located. Is that correct?
Correct.
And it appeared to me that it was some distance from the back of the house. Would that be fair?
That would be fair.
And how much of a distance, based on your estimation, would you say it is from the back of the house to the site where JJ was excavated?
I don't know the distance.
Okay. And would you agree with me that the amount of lawn on the property at that time around the burial site of JJ Vallow, the grass was quite high?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
The length of the grass around the site where JJ was excavated, would you agree that the grass was high?
In that general area, the grass was fairly high.
And would it be fair to describe that as sort of a pasture part of the property?
I wouldn't say yes or no to that.
Okay. Would it be fair to say that the area in front of JJ's burial site, there was a significantly large tree?
Near his burial site, there was a large tree.
Right. And when you say near his site, within a few feet, wouldn't you agree with that?
I wouldn't agree with that. I had somewhere that we have a measurement for that. So I would wait till I reviewed that to see what that measurement was.
Okay. And in looking at the pictures in front of JJ's burial site, there's a large irrigation pond of some kind. Would you agree with that?
Yes, there's a pond nearby.
Okay. And it didn't look like the lawn or the grass back there had been mowed in some time, right?
I don't know what kind of lawn or grass or pasture that was, or if you mow it. So I wouldn't.
Well, it was quite high, right? The grass?
I just don't know if you mow that grass. I don't know what you do to it. So
did it look like it had been mowed?
It did not recently, no.
Okay. Now, I want to go back a little bit, and I'm going to change gears a little bit, and I'm doing this for a reason. The theory from the prosecutor is that the bodies were placed in the ground for JJ and Tylee in the month of September of 2019. Is that correct?
I don't know what the theory is.
Okay. And you found the jewelry, the piece of jewelry that you made note of around JJ's, or around Tylee's neck. You showed a picture of a pendant around Tylee's neck. You recall that?
Are you talking about the silver charm?
Yeah, the pendant, the charm.
Okay. Yes, we collected a charm.
Okay. And let's assume for argument that the bodies were placed in September of 2019. When did you retrieve that pendant? And when did the picture get taken?
I don't know anything about the picture. We collected the charm on June 9th.
So again, for purposes of argument, September to June 9th. 10 months, 9 months later? Is that what?
I can just tell you when we collected the charm.
Okay. Do you know whether the charm was on the top of the ground?
Yeah, the silver charm was observable by eye. It was on top of the ground.
It wasn't like anybody was trying to conceal it.
All I can tell you is the charm was located on top of the ground.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. The charm was in plain view. Would that be fair?
We located the charm on top of the ground.
Okay. Now, in addition to removing the remains of Tylee from the ground at that time, you also had access to a backhoe. Is that correct?
Correct.
And to make sure that you retrieved all of the potential skeletal remains or otherwise, you engaged in lifting the backhoe and removing dirt. Is that correct? Of Tylee's burial site.
We utilized the backhoe to help excavate around the area of her burial site before we knew where she was located. Yes.
Okay. And then after her remains were removed, did you engage in any more search to determine whether or not you got all of the remains out of the ground?
Yes.
And you're comfortable or relatively certain that you removed all of the remains possible from the gravesite of Tylee Ryan. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're relatively certain that as part of your search and the use of the backhoe, you've got all of the remains of J.J. Vallow out of that site as well?
Yes.
Okay. Now, at the conclusion of your search on the first day, and approximately what time was that?
I would say it was sometime after 5 p.m. on the first day, June 9th.
Okay. What plans did you put in place to secure the property overnight?
It was the local Rexburg Police Department and Fremont County Sheriff's Office who secured the scene overnight.
Okay. And you don't know the number of officers or who was there to secure the scene. Is that right?
I don't. It was their plan.
Okay. Now, as part of the investigation, and Judge, could I have Exhibit 35 and 36, please?
Yeah, we'll have them.
If I could just have a moment, Judge. Judge, if I could just have a moment, please. And Judge, could I retrieve a piece of paper from my desk? May I have permission to go to my desk and get a piece of paper?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. And Judge, if I could publish.
You may.
Now, Officer, I'm showing you a close-up of the tools. Do you recognize that at all?
I do.
Okay. And those are the tools that were in Mr. Daybell's, we would describe that as a garage. Would that be fair?
That would be fair.
Okay. And you're looking at the tools, and these are part of the tools that you felt that you would determine whether they had some applicability to the digging of any graves or in any way involved in the processing of the burial sites. Would that be fair?
That would be fair.
Did you confiscate all of these tools?
No, we did not.
Did you have an opportunity to look at all of the tools?
Yes.
Okay, and you examined them personally, is that right?
I walked by all of these tools, yes.
And you looked for them for potential issues that might be involved in whether they showed any signs of being involved in the site, right?
I just walked by all of these tools.
And would this picture be a fair representation of what the tools look like on that particular day?
This zoomed in picture or?
Well, I'll zoom it back out if you'd like me to.
I would call this an as-is photograph of what the tools look like as you walked into that main garage door.
So this would be what the tools look like as you walked in, and then you directed, I think you said the name was Rachel Wright, to take pictures of that. Is that correct?
This is one of her overall photographs that she would have taken. Okay.
And there was nothing that you identified in these tools that would indicate any issues of concern. Would that be fair?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Okay. I'd like to zoom in on the large black handle tool. Is there anything that you can see on that tool that would cause you of any concern regarding part of the digging site of the Daybell property?
I'd have to look at the entire tool.
Okay. Well, I wanted you to just look at the black handle. Is there anything on the black handle that indicates to you that there's any issues with that tool?
Again, it's kind of the totality of the tool.
Okay.
In the situation, where it's at, where it's located.
Okay.
Proximity of the fire pit. So there's more than just looking at a little speck on that handle.
Okay. And you would agree there's like a little speck on the handle, right?
I wouldn't agree with that until I was able to see it in person, not just from this photograph.
Okay. And Judge, I'm going to disconnect for a moment and then reconnect if that's acceptable to the court.
Go ahead.
Judge, could I have some light on?
Yes. I'll request our clerk, please accomplish that. Thank you.
Now, Officer, you previously testified that that's how you saw the tools when you first, from your recollection of when you first approached the garage. Is that right?
When I would have done a walkthrough, correct.
And then at some point, the tools were removed at some point during the day, correct?
Correct.
And they were laid out. Oops, I'm sorry, Judge. They were laid out on the ground for photographic purposes. Is that right?
The tools from that side, we laid some of them out just under the garage door. It was opened just to take an overall photo of some of the tools. Not all of those tools were taken as evidence. That would be right.
Okay. And then, Judge, again, I'd like to publish again.
You may.
And then at some point during the day, the tools were removed and you placed them on the ground. Is that right?
Like this photo shows, the tools on the west side of this garage were laid out and this photograph was taken.
Okay. And you don't know exactly when that took place, right?
I don't have a time for you, no.
Okay. But sometime on June 9th or 10th, right?
Correct.
Okay. And were you the one who laid those tools out on the ground?
I did not.
Okay, so someone from your staff did that?
Someone on scene did that, okay. Yes.
Okay, all right. But you would agree with me that the tools prior in the prior picture were first, and this is a subsequent picture paid by some or taken by someone who took it somewhat after the tools were removed and put on the ground. Is that right?
That the first picture we reviewed was taken prior to this picture, I would agree with.
But then I'm moving in on this picture. And do you see on the handle, the black handle?
Yes, I see. Are you talking about the handle of, I was looking at the rake, but you're talking about maybe
Let's look at the black handle of the picture that I showed earlier. Now we're going to look at the black handle after it's on the ground.
Okay, I see the black handle. Zoom out.
I think that's as far as I'm going to go. Zoom out. Okay.
Okay, so you're talking about the black handle of the shovel.
The shovel.
Okay. I see that.
Let's try this a little differently. Now that's the same black shovel. What do you see on the handle of that black shovel?
It's hard to tell what that is.
Okay. It's something, right?
I can't tell what that is.
Well, I didn't ask you what it is. It's a different look than what was looking up when it was in the garage, right?
I can't say that for sure. Okay. But.
All right. And judge again, I'd like to disengage and judge again. If we could on the HDMI, judge.
Okay. You want to publish something?
Yes, publish something.
What are you publishing? Mr. Pryor, what is being published?
Judge, and again, officer, I'll represent you. This is a close-up of the handle from the very first picture. Do you recognize?
So this is the same shovel handle?
Yes.
Okay.
From the first picture. And judge, when you're ready.
Yeah, it can be published.
And again, officer, I'm looking for the difference from this first shovel to the one on the ground. Do you see any discernible difference, officer?
I don't think I'm seeing what you're trying to get me to see.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to get you to see anything. I just want you to tell me whether or not you see this shovel handle that's up against the garage wall.
I can see a black shovel handle.
Okay. Fair enough.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need. You can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.